Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather here tonight in your house of worship and praise, to hear from your word, and very shortly to be fed and nourished and strengthened in our faith, and also forgiven through the sacrament of the altar. But for right now, Lord, we ask that you would settle our hearts and our minds. You alone know what kind of day we've had, and you alone know all the things that we've carried with us today in our hearts and our minds. So for now, we just ask that you would settle all those things, that we could rest in your peace and also in your quiet, and that through the working of your Holy Spirit, we would hear the word that you want us to hear and to take home with us tonight. In the midst of all things culture shock, help us to stand strong and to stand with you, and in the strength and the promise of your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Once again, I'd like to invite you to reach for your worship bulletin. If you've maybe put that away, or your spouse or somebody else has stolen that away from you, go ahead and take it right back. And if you would, go ahead and turn back to the sermon notes page. Once again, I'd just like to invite us to be open to what God is going to lay on our hearts tonight. Because once again, too, I believe that God desires a personal relationship with each one of us. And maybe there's something that God's going to lay on your heart that's different from the neighbor sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, and so forth. Because God's a big God, and he desires a relationship with each and every one of us. And there's a number of places that God plants us throughout the week so that we can share our faith in tangible ways. So I invite you to do that. While you're doing that, let me just say this. I've continued to take time to acclimate to all things life, culture in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This week, I found myself once again hitting the trails and being reminded in a number of different ways, places, and occasions of home, my home state of Nebraska. Maybe it was the Solomon Trail that took me around the agricultural fields, the corn and the soybeans that got me thinking about home. Maybe it was the Pufferbelly Trail that took me north, past a sign that said, now leaving the city limits, over to Carroll Road and then even beyond that. Maybe it was the collection of wildlife that I encountered along the way, squirrels and birds and rabbits and ducks and random wild children that were zipping back and forth across the trail. Or maybe it was just the peace and quiet itself that brought me back home. Either way, in my mind and in my heart, I was back in Nebraska just like that. Now let me take a moment to describe home for you for a little bit, just in case you've never had the pleasure and enjoyment of going through the great state of Nebraska. So Nebraska is a state of big open skies and rolling hills. And I know there's probably a part of you that scoffs when I say rolling hills. At least where our family farm is, there are some hills, or speed bumps as we like to call them. But it's a place of big open country. It's a place of farms, big equipment, like this big John Deere tractor. How many of you have grown up on a farm before and kind of resonate with some of this? Yeah? A few folks? Yeah. Nebraska is also a place of livestock, cows and pigs, chickens and sheep, oh my. It's also a place of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Any Cornhuskers here? No, I realize I'm in Big Ten country, and I got to be careful what I say. Far be it from me to get kicked out of Fort Wayne my second month in. But yeah, it's home of the Cornhuskers, the Husker Nation, the Big Red, and the University of Nebraska, where I got my degree in wildlife science, of all things. More importantly, though, it's home to the Cordy Farm, the farm that's been in our family for generations, the place that I love to go back home and just soak up some R&R, peace and quiet, and community life. Now, I have to admit, and I got to be fully honest, there is never a dull moment growing up on a farm. And for those of you who have been on a farm, I think you can appreciate that. There is always something to do. And if you're standing around lazy, somebody will put you to work. There's livestock to take care of. There's fences to fix. There's fields to watch over. And it's not like the crops kind of pull themselves out of the ground and walk away. But you still have to take care of things nonetheless. There's seasons and elements to battle, especially when it comes to wintertime. And you start to watch the snow pile up outside the window, and you're wondering, are they going to cancel school or work? And for all that, I'd love to stand here tonight in front of you and say that when all the work was done, that I always remembered to take my shoes off before walking in the house across Mom's floor. See, when that happened, I kind of left evidence of where I was and also where I was going. And for as much as I wanted to blame that on the dog or the cat, the two tracks really don't look alike. When that happened and mom and dad came into the room and saw the evidence and saw the floor and looked from print to perpetrator, yours truly, I was guaranteed to hear the question, Seth, where have your feet been? No place pleasant, Mom. No place pleasant. This week, and even after Sunday, the more I spent time in God's Word and in prayer, I found myself hearing that question bounce back and forth and echo between the pages of God's Word. Only this time, it wasn't Jerry and Nancy Cordy, my parents, asking the question. It was the Apostle Paul. If I could refer your attention just for a moment back to our second reading for tonight, which was from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 29, we see the Apostle Paul, this Christ follower, reaching out to a group of new Christians in this city of Colossae, modern-day Turkey. And see, Paul knows that in so many ways, so many times, so many relationships, these new Christians find themselves on the receiving end of what we've been calling in our sermon series, culture shock. In other words, those daily struggles and pressures that we have as Christ followers to conform to the cultural trends or the season of the day, as opposed to what Christ may be asking us to do. And so it's in those moments as Paul starts to think about from a distance what these Christians are going through in their homes, their places of work, their schools, their neighborhoods, and their marketplaces. Paul takes the opportunity to reach out to them and to plant this question in so many ways before them. Friends, where have your feet been? In other words, as you found yourself engaged in a conversation you never saw coming this week, where did your feet take you? As you found yourself rolled by a season of life or a storm, an illness, a fight, an accident, a season of depression, where did your feet carry you? Was it back to the cross? Or was it back to some kind of cultural, contemporary, short-lived, empty fix? And when God set before you that opportunity and open door to share the gospel, did your feet take you forward or two steps back? You see, Paul wants to know, friends, where have your feet been? Now let me just pause for a moment and maybe plant that question in our presence tonight. Friends, where have your feet been recently? And even for those of you who are with us on Sunday morning and heard this message, where have your feet been since? You see, maybe as we start to think about our week and maybe even your day today, maybe we start to think back to some of the places that our feet carried us, maybe some messy, not-so-pleasant places. And granted, maybe they weren't the pig pens and cow pastures of rural Nebraska or the Cordy farm, but maybe they were tough situations, like maybe a conversation or a situation at work or school or in the neighborhood, or maybe just as you went out to get groceries and you thought, nothing's going to happen between point A and point B when I get groceries, but then it happened. Or maybe God set before you an opportunity to share your faith. You know, this past week there was a church member that came, and we were talking about the message, this message that we discussed on Sunday, and how as he was thinking about the open doors God was setting before him, there was this moment where he had the opportunity to speak to God's goodness in his life. And it wasn't an exposition of John 1 through 20, but it was just an honest and sincere reflection about what God was doing in his life at that moment. Friends, where have your feet been this week? See, knowing the hearts of his people, God works on the heart of the Apostle Paul, who reaches out to this group of Colossians with these words. And let me share this with you once again, Colossians 1. And if you want to follow along in your worship bulletin or on the screen up front, I invite you to do that. Let's pick it up at verse 21. Paul says this, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is a gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven." You see, knowing the situations and the struggles that they're facing on a daily basis, the elements and the reverberations and the fallout of culture shock, God takes the opportunity to reach out through the Apostle Paul, just like he reaches out through folks like you and me to share that faith and that message. And in a lot of ways, this is the message that's coming through loud and clear through Paul to these Colossians and to you and to me tonight. Remember where Jesus' feet have gone for you. In other words, remember how Christ himself modeled a heart of relationship and community. How so oftentimes his feet saw him going out into the community to connect with someone right where they were at in the midst of their season, their storm, and their culture shock. Remember the teachings, the feedings, the healings, the forgiveness. Remember how Jesus' feet took him to a hill and to a cross. And now 3 days later, Jesus' feet carried him right out of a tomb. Remember how Jesus has come to you and to me in our baptism and has called us by name and invited us to plant our feet one foot after the other behind his. Remember how Jesus has come to us tonight with words of forgiveness and absolution personalized to you and to me for all those places our feet carried us that we weren't supposed to go, and maybe even the places that we were supposed to go, but we didn't follow through with. Remember how Jesus comes to us tonight with his body and his blood and the sacrament of Holy Communion for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and our tired feet. At the end of his letter, at the end of this passage, Paul takes the opportunity as a good leader to come back and to revisit the question that he planted in this group. The question of, where have your feet been? Paul takes the opportunity to answer that question. And this is what he says. Let me share this with you. Verse 24 to 29. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I become its servant by the commission God gave to me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." If I could bottle that up for you tonight, and I could capture it in one phrase, it would be this. Paul says this: "My feet daily carry me into conversations and situations where I am blessed to make Christ known." Let me say that again in case you missed it. "My feet daily carry me into conversations and situations where I am blessed to make Christ known." Let's say that together, shall we? "My feet daily carry me into conversations and situations where I am blessed to make Christ known." Now here's the kicker. And here's the question. Do you believe that? Tonight as we leave and as we go back home, as we go to work tomorrow, as we go run errands, go buy groceries, look for coffee, whatever it is, as God sets before those opportunities, may your feet and my feet carry us into those places and those moments where we do just that. We make Christ known. And I realize that sometimes that's maybe a little kind of gray. What does that mean? Well, maybe it looks something like this. You see, sometimes when I'm out there on the trail with my wife, Kara, and we're walking, we're running, or we're trying to do something physical before we fall flat because of the humidity and heat, sometimes every once in a while I see someone and they kind of look like this. Or maybe they're sitting down and it looks something similar to that. Or maybe there's somebody who's visibly distraught about something in the grocery aisle. Or maybe somebody at work who's just sitting there just kind of wiping their forehead and just shaking their head because of something that's happened. See, friends, that's the Jesus moment. That's the opportunity where we get to move forward, just as Paul says, where he says, "My feet daily carry me forward into that moment to make Christ Jesus known." And maybe it's just with an offering to pray. Or maybe it's just a means to help someone feel heard. And then to take that and to pray about that on behalf of someone. Friends, this week, as we do that, May this passage from Romans 10:15 be said of us. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, where will your feet go this week? Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for gathering us here tonight in your house of worship and praise. We pray, Lord, that you would mobilize our feet to go into those places, those daily arenas, those conversations, those relationships where you want Jesus to be made known. We recognize that so oftentimes our feet get tired and maybe they even carry us in the opposite direction of where you're asking us to go. But we pray, Lord, in those moments that you would encourage us, you would embolden us, and through the work of your Holy Spirit, give us the words of grace and hope and forgiveness that point back to the gift of life we have because of Christ's death and resurrection. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.